Giants down by four. Can Eli Manning do it? Got to go 83 yards in 2:39. Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Under pressure. Avoids the rush. And he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield. Wide open Tyree. Makes the catch. What a play by Manning. What a catch by Tyree. Oh. Then Eli Manning in perfection. Takes the snap. Looks left. Lobs it left. Touchdown Giants! And the Giants have won Super Bowl 42. The Patriots will not be perfect.
New York followed its surprising upset in Super Bowl 42 with three disappointing seasons. Each year, the Giants started strong, then faltered down the stretch. In 2010, New York lost two of its final three games and missed the playoffs. The worst defeat came against the Eagles when the Giants blew a 21-point fourth-quarter lead and a division title.
Midfield! He's at the 40! DeSean Jackson! He's let it go!
The Philadelphia Eagles have scored 28 points in the final 7 minutes of the ballgame.
I literally sat in the dark for the whole evening. I didn't talk to anybody. I sat in a room with no lights on, and I just reflected. It was a colossal failure. Believe me, it was a long offseason. But you have to move beyond it, and that's what we tried to do.
From the first day of training camp, Tom Coughlin made sure his players understood the theme for the upcoming season.
Welcome back. You're going to hear me say this 1,000 times. Finish, finish, finish.
We showed a video of a girls' cross-country team, a high school cross-country team, and one particular girl who really was their best runner. Coming down the stretch, she began to struggle. She collapsed within feet of the finish line. She said to herself, you have to finish. That's the point. She literally crawled across the finish line, and her team won the state championship. When the movie ended, you could have heard a pin drop in the room.
You know, normally when Coach shows us videos, man, we kind of look at them and be like, oh, okay, I got his point. But seeing someone not getting paid give that much effort, I think guys really, really took that to heart, and it really set the tone for this season.
If the Giants were going to finish as division champions, it would be up to Eli Manning to lead them there. But coming off a season where he threw a league-high 25 interceptions, Manning was one of the few who believed he could.
Is Eli Manning an elite quarterback? Are you a top five, top 10 quarterback?
Yeah, I think I am.
Are you in the Tom Brady class?
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself in that class.
I wasn't trying to, cause a big deal. I wasn't trying to make a statement. You know, he asked me a question. I answered it. I really didn't think anything of it. I think I answered the question honestly because I knew, hey, I'd throw him for 4,000 yards. I'd throw him for over 30 touchdowns. All I had to do was discipline myself to eliminate those bad decisions. That was my intent for the offseason.
It was something different in his eye this year. He's the first guy in and the last guy out. I saw Eli work his butt off throughout the lockout with throwing sessions in high schools. I knew he was going to be a different cat this year.
When starting slot receiver Steve Smith signed a free agent deal with Philadelphia, the extra work by Manning became even more critical.
You know, I was worried about that slot position, who was going to fill that role. I knew we had a couple guys who were going to compete for it, but I didn't know if anyone would be as good as what Steve Smith was able to produce for us the last couple of years.
Although New York didn't realize it at the time, Smith's replacement would be one of the key figures in the Giants' championship season. Heading into the season, one of the Giants' biggest concerns was how to fill the void left by slot receiver Steve Smith. One candidate was Victor Cruz, an undrafted free agent who possessed raw athleticism. Cruz, who grew up only a few miles from MetLife Stadium, became a local hero the summer before when he torched the Jets for three touchdowns in a preseason game.
It's a hell of a play by that kid.
You saw playmaking potential, but can he be, you know, consistent in his route running and learning the concepts? You know, we still didn't know. You know, unfortunately, he got injured early on and missed a full season. I was hoping he was going to be a big player for us in March or early April. I wanted to start throwing and needed a guy to throw to. I didn't know he was, you know, from Paterson, New Jersey, so I figured he'd be in the area. And so, you know, that's when I got his number from the Giants.
He shot me a text, and I was like, and he was like, hey, man, are you in town? I want to throw. And I was just like, who is this, man? Like who is I didn't have the number on my phone. He goes, it's Eli. And I go, whoa. And then I go to my mom's like, my Eli just texted me. And she goes, well, you better text him back.
So we went to the field, and it was, you know, there was like a dog competition or something going on. We couldn't even get on the field. So we're throwing on the sidewalk. You know, it's still cold. The wind's blowing it. He's having to watch out for dogs coming in and out of this park.
Just to be one-on-one, just me and Eli. It was definitely a surreal feeling. I was at every workout, just learning the system, learning what Eli likes to pass. And it had a really good impact on me.
The rapport Cruz built with Manning in the offseason disappeared in camp as the young receiver struggled to find consistency.
When are you going to see a freaking hot? How many years is it going to take? Look in there and expect blitz.
I think it was just nerves. I think it was just expectations, you know, living up to those expectations. I think I was, the anxiety was kind of overwhelming at the time.
The first game of the season versus Washington, the first third down, I throw him a little hook route in the slot, and he drops it. And it's not the way you want to start the season, especially for a young guy. And, you know, coaches can quickly turn.
You know, there was a little voice in the back of my mind that was telling me, in this league, the chances come few and far between. And if you don't take advantage of them, they can slip away just as fast as they came. Thank God that I got another opportunity.
That chance came when receiver Dominic Hixon was lost for the year with a knee injury.
Our quarterback's coach Sullivan, he comes up to me, man. He goes, yo, you're getting a start this week. It's Hispanic Heritage Month. You're half Puerto Rican. You got to do something to represent the people. He was like, you got to dance. I was like, yo, coach, if I get in the end zone, I'll do it. You know, myself thinking that I won't even get in the end zone. I just wanted to catch a few balls and take it from there. I catch the first ball, and I'm going up the sideline, and I break a tackle. And I'm going in to score, and I'm like, man, I got to do this dance now. So I get in the end zone, and I was like, man, here goes nothing. So I dropped the ball, and I just start doing the salsa, and then it just steamrolled from there.
I kind of said, all right, I think we found our guy. There's some things that other guys might do better, but when you get the ball in his hands, he makes special things happen.
The kid who had only two career receptions before his breakout in Philadelphia went on to shatter the Giants' single-season record for receiving yards.
I never dreamed of doing anything like that. It was just awesome, man. It was, you know, no words can even describe the journey each and every week. Once you get an understanding of the offense that you're playing in and you're confident and you're relaxed, I think it's just easy to sit back and play, man. And I think that's what happened to me throughout the course of the season.
He was that player this year when we needed to play. We'll be on the sideline like where Cruz at. Every time he got it done.
Over the middle, completes it to the 10. Victor Cruz spins up and into the end zone for a touchdown.
I mean, he's a phenomenon now. The sauce has been around for years. But now that's the dance Victor Cruz started. Every time he touches the ball in Giants Stadium, they say Cruz.
The chant of Cruz rings throughout MetLife Stadium.
They don't say Eli. They definitely don't say Tuck. Yeah. I mean, kind of jealous.
With help from Cruz, Eli Manning had his finest season as a pro, backing up his preseason proclamation. Manning set an NFL record with 15 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter and led the Giants to 6 comeback victories.
And the Giants have the lead back.
We talk about a story and resiliency.
My wife was getting on me. She says, you know, you're allowed to have a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter and just win a game. I said, well, Coach Coffin told us to finish strong. So, you know, we figured we might as well be down, finish strong. And so maybe we took his point a little bit too literally about finish.
In week 9, Manning stunned the Patriots with a comeback reminiscent of the one he orchestrated in Super Bowl 42. The game-winning drive even featured a miraculous catch by a receiver wearing number 85.
What a catch by Ballard.
He did. Foles and David Tyree.
You're kind of saying, well, I've been in this situation before. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't kind of an eerie, similar feeling to the Super Bowl in 07.
Third and goal at the one. Throws it left to the end zone. Touchdown, Giants!
Anyone who doubts whether or not Eli Manning has the stuff.
Eli looked pretty elite here.
You know, how he played this year was tremendous. I think he should have been league MVP.
Thanks to Manning, the Giants were 6-2 and in first place at the halfway point of the regular season. At the start of Super Bowl 42, Justin Tuck was an unknown. After an MVP-caliber performance that included two sacks, Tuck was hailed as the next great Giants pass rusher. Over the next 3 years, Tuck replaced Michael Strahan as defensive captain, and he matured into one of the fiercest defenders in the NFL.
When I play, I kind of vision myself as a gladiator. Growing up in Alabama, for a birthday present, I got the He-Man sword. And I used to run around saying, you know, I'm He-Man, and I have the power. My mom used to say I used to sleep with the sword, and we were kind of inseparable. So the nickname He-Man just stuck.
In 2011, injuries made the most powerful man in the Giants universe a mere mortal.
I had groin issues, shoulder, foot, knee, torn ligaments in my hand. But when I did the neck, you know, it takes away a little bit of the edge. Every time you go and contact a guy, there's some doubt. Yeah, mentally, I wasn't ready to be Justin Tuck of old.
Tuck was also hurting emotionally after his grandfather and two uncles passed away during the season.
I truly love those guys, man, I do. You know, they've watched me play since I was running around screaming He-Man. I've kind of tried my best to block out those memories, being on a plane headed down there and just crying. You don't know. It was tough.
Quite frankly, Justin wasn't Justin. I thought he was somewhat depressed, as a matter of fact. I thought it was time for us to talk about it. And we simply had a kind of a heart-to-heart. It wasn't coach to player. It was more, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I don't want this for you. I want you to look at things from the positive standpoint.
You know, he challenged me. And if you know me, I don't like backing down from challenges. Told me I was playing like crap. Told me I was better than that. Told me we don't care about injuries. Nobody cares about injuries. No toughness, no championship. At that point, I realized, you know, I am feeling sorry for myself. When I got out of the chair, I just felt revived a little bit. And it just seemed like all the pains and all the, you know, fatigues and injury started to kind of just go away a little bit.
Now he lit up the room again, you know, with his eyes and his smile and his work habits. And that was a breath of fresh air for everybody. So that was a huge factor.
Tuck's rebirth couldn't have come at a better time. New York's injury-depleted defense was struggling. The Giants had lost three straight, and there was growing concern from the media of another second-half collapse.
No one pointed any fingers. No one, you know, said anything to getting guys, any of the other guys down. Everybody kind of just picked each other up.
Part of the team's cohesiveness stemmed from techniques learned earlier in the season at a seminar conducted by former fighter pilots.
The three main tenets to flawless execution: leadership, accountability, and teamwork.
When a group of pilots land, they go immediately into a debriefing session. They talk about how can they get better, and they can get better by each individual, no chip on their shoulder, you know, no defense mechanisms in place, talking about what they did wrong. So to carry that over, players had their own film session. No coaches in there.
Now some of the younger guys that probably wouldn't have said nothing when the coaches were there, they felt comfortable in saying, I'm struggling with this, or, you know, I missed this read because, you know, Justin jumped out of his gap. It would be rare for a rookie to tell, you know, the captain of the defense that he shouldn't do that. But we all had equal say-so in it. When you feel like you got ownership, you take it a little bit more seriously. We knew that everybody had each other's backs.
Good teams become great teams when their members trust each other enough to surrender the me for the we. I like what
it went a long way from taking all those egos out and getting guys on the same page. I think it did wonders for our team.
You wanna know why? Because I done let y'all down all year. And all that bullshit about Tuck hurt, Tuck this. I'm coming out breathing fire tonight.
Despite his best effort in weeks, Tuck and the Giants came up short against the undefeated Packers, running their losing streak to 4. However, the game evoked memories of a 38-35 loss to the unbeaten Patriots in 2007, one that propelled New York to a championship.
I think it was that similar type game, you know, where hey, this is the best team in the NFL, and we just played with them to the very end. We went a little losing streak, but we are a good team. We're close. We're not far off. We just had to put it all together.
New York's season was in danger of derailing again. The Giants had lost 4 straight, something no team in NFL history had ever overcome to win a Super Bowl.
It was a turning point for us. We either were going to tank it this season and be an average team that coulda, shoulda, woulda, or we were going to turn it around and win the rest of our regular season games and make it to the postseason.
We're 6-6. We're going to Dallas. If we lose that game, Coach Coughlin might be fired.
You know, Coughlin's going to get fired. Maybe they should start that early in the year because we play better when that starts.
He never made that an issue. He kept us cool. It had good messages for us. We've fallen, but we got to get to that finish line. Doesn't matter how you do it, you got to make it happen.
In a must-win game against the Cowboys, the Giants fell behind by 12 points with less than 6 minutes remaining. New York's latest collapse was nearly complete.
Just frustrated sitting on the sideline because we know we're better than what we're playing. You're looking for somebody to make a play, and good old Eli.
And he takes a low snap. He's back to throw. He looks middle. He throws middle to the goal line. Touchdown, Jake Ballard.
With 3:14 to go, the Giants are still alive.
Felt good. You know, we'd just gone down there and won 2-minute drive, something we've been very good at all season. We're going to have another opportunity. They got a big third down. We're coming with a blitz. I see Romo. He's sending a signal, and he's got Miles Austin 5 yards behind our defenders. It's going to be a touchdown. And it's overthrown, and we get a chance to get the ball.
I was like, well, the game's over for them. You know, I'm sitting on the sideline. I'm like, what we got next week?
You know, the thing I remember now is how, you know, little plays can be a difference in making the playoffs or not. With us winning a Super Bowl or not, and it's what you do with that opportunity that can make you special or not.
This is as good a quarterback performance in the clutch with the season on the line as I have seen in a long, long time.
You got to score, baby. You got to score.
Second and goal at the 1 for the lead, a minute to go. Hand off Jacobs. He runs right, follows his blockers to the goal line. Touchdown, Giants!
It is over.
And the New York Giants have saved their season.
A huge relief. We knew, hey, we're right back where we need to be. You know, we're in our own, we hold, you know, in control of our own destiny. And it was a huge win.
The following week, the Giants fell back into second place after a lackluster effort against the Redskins. New York had to win its final 2 games to make the playoffs.
You know, right after that, we have a chapel service, and we have a different speaker come almost every week.
The guy gave us a poker chip. He said we needed to push all our chips to the middle of the table and be all in. We kind of adopted that as our motto.
Having that mindset of, you know, are you all in for this football team? And are you all in to make the postseason? It was huge for us.
All of us still had that poker chip. You know, some guys wore it in their socks during the game. Some guys, you know, kept it in their locker room. I keep it right by my nightstand so I can see it every night before I close my eyes.
Inspiration to finish strong seemed to come from everywhere, even the head coach of their crosstown rival.
I never came here to be little brother to anybody, so clearly we were the better team my first 2 years here.
I don't care about Tom Coughlin or anybody else. I know how I believe, and I don't care if it's, you know, acceptable in everybody's opinion. I really don't care.
Something we've always believed in for ourselves is talk is cheap, play the game. And sometimes I wonder whether our own guys have listened to that.
Reporter asked me, what do you think about teams that are throwing more to Revis this year? And I said to her, teams aren't scared to test him early on in the game. And, of course, that got taken as me saying no one's scared of Darrell Revis. And it was just this whole big hoopla around it.
The only time I remember this guy is in the preseason game. So, I mean, that's the only time I remember the guy. Other than that, don't know the guy very well. So,
you know, I was a little taken aback by it, but I just wanted to go out there and play and make sure that my play on the field proved the type of player I was.
The Jets even tried to get under the Giants' skin on game day by covering their Super Bowl mural.
Rex saying those things I didn't necessarily care about, but, you know, covering up our Super Bowls, that's different. We definitely wanted to shut Rex up.
Even with added motivation, the Giants' offense barely made a peep against Ryan's smothering defense.
It's an absolute struggle, you know, and we're looking from the sideline. We're backed up. We got the ball on the one-yard line, and we're coming out. This could be dangerous here.
If we don't get a first down there, we're going to have to punt. They're going to get the ball in good field position. I mean, that could be a 14-point or a 10-point swing right there.
Desperate for a spark, the Giants needed Victor Cruz now more than ever.
Manning back to throw. Looks, throws one to the right, completes it to the right for a first down, and running out of a tackle down the right sideline is Victor Cruz. Chased by Smith, hurdles over him, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants, 99 yards!
You can't ask for a bigger momentum change than that.
You guys got that? You got that on audio? Yeah, because, you know, you make such a big play for your team. You know, you're feeling good about yourself. Your emotions are running high. So I was talking a little bit, and I think it was warranted for the time being, at least.
And so Victor goes 99, and it's a whole different ballgame. And probably from that point on, if you wanted to define the defining moment in the season, when things really came together and took off, that was it right there. From that point on, we started to combine confidence with cohesiveness, with intelligence, with masterful play.
A healthier and revitalized defense shut down the Jets in the second half, and the Giants got the last word.
This order! This order!
It was good to kind of, you know, win the Battle of New York, if you will. Some guys ripped those things down and let them breathe after the game and let those murals be seen a little bit.
Where's the stadium? All right.
Is that house?
Giant Stadium.
I think that's a stadium.
What's that?
Giant Stadium.
Big Blue was the best team in the Big Apple, but the victory came at a price.
Coughlin took a shot as Ware got knocked out of bounds.
It felt like somebody had taken a part of muscle or tendon and just torn it across the back of the leg. But it was my fault. And I relaxed. I let my guard down. Those things happen, and I want to remind everybody I didn't fall down, though.
No toughness, no championship. Coughlin and his team had persevered, and only the Cowboys stood in the way. With the finish line in sight, the Giants didn't crawl. They blazed right through.
I hate the Cowboys. I do. And having the opportunity to end it with the sack cause fumble against Romo is one of my favorite moments of that year.
And a sack by Tuck fumbles the football. And the Giants have it. And that's your ball game.
And they're celebrating in the aisles at MetLife Stadium. The New York Giants are the NFC East champions.
Congrats.
congratulations to the NFC East champion. Great job of finishing now. Great job of finishing this part of the season.
You know, after the game, I was cleaning out my bag. I see a poker chip. At that point, we won that game. We won the game versus the Jets. You know, and then it kind of gets into superstitious. I put it on my little dresser. I didn't want to say it was good luck or not. I just kind of made little hints, and you know, I told my wife. I know it might seem odd that there's a poker chip sitting there, but you know, let's just leave that there and this until this ride's over.
Four years earlier, New York peaked late in the season and rode the momentum all the way to a Super Bowl title. Heading into the 2011 playoffs, few thought the 9-7 Giants could do it again.
The idea of everybody telling you that you can't do something, I like that. That's a good thing. Well, these guys took this to the extreme.
We thrive in people not giving us a shot. I think that we went through the most adversity this year of any team. I think that made us that much stronger. We were all in, and we were gonna lay it on the line for what it was worth. And you know, when the dust cleared, you know, last man standing, we expected it to be us.
We better than 07, but we gotta put that together right now. Nope. They ain't built like us. Nope. They ain't built like us. They ain't ready for this we about to bring today.
They're gonna go for it here on 4th and 1. Lyons gonna keep it. He got stopped. He didn't get there. Second time today. They've been stopped on 4th and inches by the Big Blue defense.
Spurred on by their resurgent defense and 3 touchdown passes from Eli Manning, the Giants won the first playoff game in MetLife Stadium history.
Unbelievable.
Good. This is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. We're going to beat Green Bay.
Yeah, we are. But if we play like this,
we're going to be there. No question about it.
In the 07 playoffs, Manning upset Brett Favre in one of the coldest games ever at Lambeau Field. This time, he outplayed league MVP Aaron Rodgers to put the 15-1 Packers on ice.
Touchdown, Giants! The Giants have scored on each of their first 2 possessions. The Giants are going to run another play without a timeout. 6 seconds to go. Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown!
I had to go in and do some stuff on my shoulder. Lawrence Tynes, like, runs up the stairs and, like, hugs me. I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he said, we just scored a touchdown. I was like, what? And from that point on, I just said, like, man, this game's over.
I've never had much success with that play. So it was a good time and a good situation to hit my first Hail Mary.
Well, when they went to the Super Bowl in 2007, they beat an NFC South team first. Then they went to the number 1 seed Cowboys, and they beat them.
I remember guys saying stuff like, can you believe this is happening? Man, this is eerie. Or is this deja vu? Or how in the world are we in this spot? We felt as though no one could beat us at this point.
San Francisco, here we come.
Like the divisional playoff, the NFC Championship was a rematch of a regular season loss, and one Giant was eager for vengeance.
I wanted to play San Francisco mainly because, I mean, I did want another shot at Carlos Rogers, I'm not going to lie. In the regular season, he had an interception on me and did my dance. You know, and I want a little bit of revenge.
Cruz got his payback, catching 8 passes in the first half.
You're going to have to find a way to get Carlos Rogers some help on it. I know he's the Pro Bowl corner, and Cruz is just having his way with him right now.
Not taking this from me. They're not taking this from me, cuz. They ain't taking this from me.
Boy.
They're not taking this from me.
You beast, boy.
They weren't going to take my goal to playing a Super Bowl, this thing that I've dreamt of all my life. They weren't going to take it from me that day. I just felt so adamant about that.
New York's ability to move the ball through the air was remarkable, given the frequent downpours and sloppy field conditions.
I didn't worry about the rain. I'll come in some days on a Sunday and I'll say, now, Eli, it's 15-degree wind out there. And he goes out, he warms up, and he comes in. I said, how's the wind? It's okay. It's not bad. Should we, you know, be aware of throwing into the wind? No. Do we have to worry about that? Nope. Okay.
Coughlin's confidence was justified. Manning threw 58 times and didn't commit a single turnover. Not even the 49ers' pass rush could unnerve Easy Eli.
I started to walk over and tell David Carr to get warmed up because, it was some kids the union think he was going to get up. When you pick Eli up out of that mud, it was kind of like you had to have a spatula, like to scoop him out of it.
His jersey's halfway ripped off his shoulder pad and his chin strap is on his nose, but he was still cool and calm and collected, man. He never complained about, guys not blocking or just yelling at him. He never yelled at his offensive line, never yelled at any one of us.
When the game went into overtime, the Giants remained resolute.
Just the fact that we had so many close games in the regular season, we always just had this confidence to say, hey, if there's a chance we can win this game, we're going to go win it.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Knocked out by Jaquan Williams. Devin Thomas recovered it.
That's the only thing I can remember thinking. How favored is this football team?
Can the Giants now finish the deal?
We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
Lawrence Tynes, 31 yards to put the Giants in the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
This is the same guy that in 08 kicked a 47-yard field goal with minus 24 degrees in overtime in Green Bay, Wisconsin with a ball that was hard as a brick. I believed he was going to make it.
Kick on its way. It's got the distance, and it is gone! He's kicked the Giants to the second Super Bowl in 4 years.
We're going to Super Bowl! We're going to Super Bowl!
I was glad Ms. Merrill gave Bradshaw some grief there. And Terry's not the only one. I love you, Terry, but you're not the only one.
Love her spirit and love how much she loves the Giants. I know she was excited, and she had a good point.
To complete another incredible championship run, it seemed fitting that the Giants would again have to defeat the New England Patriots. During preparations for the Super Bowl, Eli Manning made sure that his teammates were focused on finishing.
I stood up and I said, I've been to a Super Bowl, but I've also seen in my brother what he was like after he's lost the Super Bowl. That's something I never want to experience. We're going to work and we're prepared and we're not going to lose.
I commend Eli because that's not what he's done. That's not normally where he's comfortable. But again, egos aside, just getting up and doing what's best for the football team.
Our practices out there, bang, 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 bang. I don't know if the ball ever hit the ground. And the guys who usually try to bust my tail with my time thing, I would set a time for practice. Let's say it was 3:35 or something. They'd be out there at 3:20, dressed and ready to go.
I am man enough to tell you guys that I love you.
I've never said that to a team before, but I felt strongly about this team. The thing I wanted them to know is how much I admired them for what you've accomplished, for the men that you are, and the way in which you have truly come together as a team. That's all you coach for. That's the goal.
How mad do y'all want it today? I got a ring. Chris, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. Rock, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. Limber, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. Boss, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. I'm telling you right now, it's the best feeling in the world. And if it's on me today, you're going to have one out of this.
Super Bowl 46. Man, oh, man. I'm trying not to blink because I might miss something.
To finally be on that field and look up and see You know, Super Bowl 2012 in Indianapolis was just probably one of the greatest feelings ever.
Cruz in a slot left, Manning back to throw. Throws one left, touchdown Giants, Victor Cruz on the slant. And he does the salsa in the Patriots end zone.
It's a dream just to be able to play in the game, but to actually score a touchdown right in front of where my high school coach and my godfather was sitting. It was just, there's no other feeling that can match that.
Cruz's touchdown was the only one New York tallied in the first three quarters. Tom Brady gave the Patriots the lead by completing a Super Bowl record 16 consecutive passes, but he failed to connect on the one throw that could have finished the Giants.
5 minutes to go and Patriots by two. Wide open Welker.
You've seen Wes make catches even harder than that. But like the Romo to Austin throw, you know, I thought I saw that. I was like, well, that was their opportunity.
For the second time in 4 years, a Giants-Patriots Super Bowl would be decided in the closing minutes.
.346 to go. One timeout and the two-minute warning. We've seen something like this before, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
In Super Bowl 42, Eli Manning led the Giants to victory with a dramatic game-winning drive. Now, he had a chance to do it again.
Definitely had a little, felt familiar in that situation. The last two times we'd played the Patriots, we've gone down there and scored touchdowns. Obviously, this time only down 2 points. So you start thinking, hey, a field goal will win this game.
Like it had 4 years earlier and so many times during the last 5 months, New York's fate rested on the right arm of Eli Manning.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes!
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
What a catch. It's not quite David Tyree, but that is pretty close.
I think it's the best throw of Eli's career. He didn't have, you know, I told Mario, I mean, great catch, but you didn't have a choice. He put it in the tiniest of places. Mario didn't have a chance of dropping it. And I remember asking Eli, like, how do you know where to put the ball? And he's like, I don't. I see the guy running. I see the safety. I just trust my ability and throw it. I was like, it can't be that simple.
The pass to Manningham was easy. The hard part was securing the winning score without leaving too much time for a Tom Brady comeback.
Second down, we're going to run the ball, make them use their last timeout, and then probably run the ball and either score or kick a field goal. Call the play, I break the huddle. And it just, you know, at that point, it pops in my head saying, they're going to let us score right here. I'm walking to the line of scrimmage, and I stop, and I think about going to tell Ahmad, you know, if they let you score, don't do it. Then I start thinking, well, you know, what if he messes up or doesn't know what I'm saying and he fumbles, or, you know, if he goes down right when I hand him the ball at the 8 yard line. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let it happen. Get the ball snapped and I can tell right away they're not going hard. So I'm going back. I'm handing him the ball and I'm yelling, you know, don't score. Don't go in. Don't go in.
He's given the Giants the lead here in the Super Bowl, but it was an almost reluctant touchdown by Bradshaw.
It's not your typical great play. You know, we just had a great chance to win the Super Bowl. It's kind of like, should he have gone down there? Should he have scored? Am I happy? Am I upset? Kind of what's the emotion I want to feel right now? But ultimately, you know, you'd rather score a touchdown than settle for a field goal.
A lot of people in this situation be thinking, why did we score so quick? Why we didn't blah, blah, blah. I remember turning to OC and saying, we got a chance to get another sack. As a competitor, you want to have the chance to finish it.
Only one play separated the Giants from the ultimate finish.
One play away. I can't stay still. I can't stay still.
Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one.
As that ball goes in the air, you just, oh my goodness.
It felt like it was in the air for a lifetime.
I kind of see the ball, you know, get hit, and then I lose it. And then finally, a second later, I kind of see it dribbling on the ground.
Incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46. Finish is what Tom Coughlin said, and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
When you set a goal, and you accomplish the goal, and when you specify exactly what it's going to take, and it happens exactly that way, that is rewarding, it's satisfying, but it's also fulfilling. There's nothing like it.
In the midst of all that chaos, I just wanted to reflect, think about my adversity on and off the football field. But also just wanted to give thanks. Just so overjoyed, but it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like a sigh of relief. Like,
I started thinking about what a crazy ride we've had and how there are so many similarities to the last one. You can't believe it truly happened. It probably changes the way I'm viewed. I don't think it changes the way I view myself. It doesn't change the way I'm going to improve as a player to make sure that I give my teammates and the new guys that will come be a part of this team an opportunity to have those same experiences.
Let me touch it.
Your life kind of slows down. And everything kind of comes into perspective. For me to come so far and do all the things that I've done and, you know, almost running out of opportunities, it was great to just come full circle and to be standing there with the Lombardi Trophy and my family watching. It was definitely a moment that I'll never forget.
Might not have been the most talented. We played teams that probably should have beat us. But none of that matters when everybody's on the same page. And we are living proof of that.
The way in which that it all came together was something that is, you'll never forget it. Never forget it. And it's over so darn fast.